I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Some of us think too highly of ourselves. Some of us think too lowly of ourselves. But all of us think too much about ourselves, right?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we're really getting into some great truths about humility today. And I remember when you preached this message, one of the things that jumped out at me was the fact that some of us really tend to think too little of ourselves, like we just heard. And you're saying that is a form of pride.
Yeah, well, pride in its essence is a preoccupation with self. And that can come in two forms. It can be a preoccupation with how great one is, or it can be a preoccupation with how terrible one is. Either way, it's a preoccupation with self, which means that I'm much more concerned about myself than I am about Christ and my Savior. And the essence of the Christian life is to be delivered from this.
Get your eyes off yourself and unto Him.
In either of these forms, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You almost feel the freedom of that, as Paul says it. I at last been released from this relentless preoccupation with what am I achieving, and am I any good, or am I better than someone else? Whichever form it's in, pride is a great destroyer. And humility, because it is a mark of Christ-likeness, is the most wonderful release. So I got to go after that and get as much of it as I possibly can cultivate in my life.
And we're going to see how we do that in today's message. If you can, join us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 as we continue the message, New Humility. Here's Pastor Colin.
So I want to ask three simple questions now as we come back to 1 Peter. The first very obvious one is, what is humility? Because it's very important that we understand what it is and then what it isn't. Secondly, why is it so important? And Peter has a great deal to say about the critical importance of this issue. Thirdly, how can it be cultivated? First of all, then, what is humility? Now, I want to answer that negatively first. Sometimes it's helpful to clear away misconceptions so that we can have a clear path for understanding the truth. So, what is humility? First, negatively, humility is not denying your gifts. Now, this is very important. There is absolutely no value in a person who has been gifted by God with wonderful good looks looking in the mirror and trying to convince themselves that they're ugly. That's just stupid. I mean, it doesn't work, does it? I mean, you can't convince yourself of something that's the opposite of what is the case. What is the point of someone who has been gifted by God with intellectual brilliance trying to convince himself that somehow he is foolish? There is no point in this, trying to turn truth on its head. What's the point in a person who's an outstanding athlete, gifted by God, trying to make out that they're really only moderate? That's not humility. That's just plain stupid, right? It's nonsense. Humility is not about denying your gifts. It's not trying to turn your mind in a knot, convincing yourself the opposite of what is obviously the case. There is nothing spiritual about talking down what God has enabled you to do. That's not humility. Second, humility is not exaggerating your faults. Now, there is an inverted kind of a form of pride in which, while one person looks in the mirror and says, my goodness, this will shake the world, there's another person who looks in the mirror and says, oh my, when will these zits go away? The Uriah Heep kind of approach, I've got nothing and I'm so hopeless and I muck everything up and I can't do anything and so forth. That kind of low self-image can actually be as much a manifestation of pride as an inflated self-image, because the two have one in common, a preoccupation with self. You see, there are two different ways you can preoccupy with yourself. You can be preoccupied with your own greatness as you see it. You can be preoccupied with your own smallness as you see it. But either way, we're in the trap of being preoccupied with ourselves, and that's the root of pride. So then, what is humility? Humility is, in the first instance, a release from that dreadful preoccupation with self. Remember, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Not deny his gifts or his abilities, but deny himself. Not pretend that you're nothing. But get away from this fundamental preoccupation with yourself. The very heart of the word pride is that great big letter I. And think of it this way, the very heart of the cross is that the great I is crossed out. And that takes you to the very heart of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us think too highly of ourselves. Some of us think too lowly of ourselves. But all of us think too much about ourselves, right? Far too much about ourselves. Me, the center of the world. Whether it's little me and I can't do it, or big me and I can do anything, we're all in this trap of thinking way too much about ourselves, and humility at its heart is a release from preoccupation with myself. A discovery that this life is not about whether it's little me, big me, or any other kind of me, it is about God being glorified in me. I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. And I find C.S. Lewis again to be very helpful here in pointing that the way of humility really is about release from preoccupation with self. And not about denial of gifts. He says this, and I think it's very insightful, that God's whole effort, he says, is to get the man's mind off the subject of his own value altogether. God would rather that a man thought himself a great architect or a great poet and then forgot about it than that he should spend much time and pain trying to think himself a bad one. You see, it really isn't trying to pervert what is true or deny what is good. It's about being released from being preoccupied with ourselves. So someone comes and gives you a compliment for something you did well. Hey, good job. You know, the response of humility isn't to say, oh, you know, it wasn't really that good, you know. That's nonsense. No, the response is to give thanks to God and then to move on. Not to let it dwell in your spirit so that you become preoccupied with yourself and, yes, it really was rather good. That's where the pride begins, you see. Humility is a wonderful thing because it is a release from this dreadful preoccupation with ourselves. It is, secondly, a beautiful reflection of the character of Jesus. See, we sometimes think about humility in terms of our faults and our sins. Oh, I've got many sins, many faults, so I should be humble. Jesus had no faults, but he was our model of humility. He had all gifts, and he walked in humility. The beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen in his humility. Pride is never attractive. It's always ugly. It was the first movement of Satan's soul as he sought to take the place of God. It was the first movement in Eve's soul when it was suggested to her that she could be something more than God had called her to be. Andrew Murray rather beautifully puts it this way, humility is being clothed with the very beauty and blessedness of Jesus. Humility is to be clothed with the beauty and the blessedness of Jesus. For his glory is seen as he takes the form of a servant, and our highest glory is seen in serving others. Now, if that's what humility is, for us to be released from a preoccupation of with ourselves and to reflect the character of Jesus, why is it so important? Look very simply at what Peter says here. He sets out four reasons as to why this is of critical importance in our Christian lives. Number one, verse 5, God opposes the proud. Boy, now it's worth taking a moment to think about that. That's strong language, isn't it? God opposes the proud. And he's writing to Christian believers, to disciples, And he's making it very clear that I can throw all the effort of my life into serving him, but it's going to achieve nothing. I'm just going to be standing still if arrogance gets in the way, because God opposes the proud. And if God opposes what we seek to do for him, then what hope have we got? God cannot bear to see pride in his children. And arrogance will bring me under his fatherly discipline. Number two, God gives grace to the humble. Here's why it's important. Here's a wonderful positive statement. God gives grace to humble people. You know, we use the phrase, money makes money. You have to have it in order to make it. Well, that's the principle that Peter is using here. The grace of humility attracts other expressions of God's gracious character to be formed in our lives. In other words, pride closes the door to spiritual growth, but humility opens the door to God's grace being multiplied in your life. To the humble, God gives patience. To the humble, God gives peace. To the humble, God gives gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit grows in the soil of humility. God gives grace to the humble. This is how spiritual growth happens in a Christian believer. That the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ is increased and multiplied in the soil of humility. That's what he's saying. So it's crucial. If the soil isn't there, what's going to grow? Thirdly, verse 6, God will lift you up. Here's a marvelous promise. As God leads us through the twisting paths of life with all of their disappointments and frustrations and unexpected changes, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, he says. What God allows that wasn't what you'd hoped, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. In due time, he will lift you up. It's a wonderful promise. And then fourthly, God cares for you, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. It's all actually one sentence, as Peter originally wrote it. Humble yourselves, he says, casting your care on him, for he cares for you. In other words, the way in which you humble yourself is to cast your anxieties onto him. There's a very profound insight in that connection. You see, it's the proud person who feels it's all down to me. I've got to make things happen. Everything in life that affects me is really in my hands. It's the proud person who thinks like that. And of course, as soon as we begin to think it's all in my hands, it's all down to me, then we've got a lot to worry about. But it's pride that makes us think it's all down to us. And remember, Jesus said, which of you by worrying is going to add an hour to your life or an inch to your height? No, what happens to you is ultimately in the hands of God. So now, if I want to deal with my anxieties, the place to begin is often in addressing my pride. Because it was pride that made me feel it's all down to me, and it's the feeling that it's all down to me that's made me anxious. So if I humble myself and reckon that ultimately what happens in my family, in my church, in all the things that are concerning me, if I recognize that these things are ultimately in the hands of God, then I'm going to be released from anxiety. Pride leaves me anxious. Humility says, Lord, it is in your hands and I place it there, and there I will trust. God cares for me.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Humility. It's part of a series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and we'll get back to this message in just a moment. Well, maybe you're listening today and you've recently made a commitment to Jesus, and you're wondering, now what do I do? Or maybe there's someone in your life who recently has begun that relationship with Jesus. You know they're open to discipleship, but you're not quite sure how to lead them down that path and in that journey. Where would you start? Well, there's a whole book of the Bible that shows us how to grow in our faith. It's the book of 1 Peter, and it's what our current series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, is all about. In addition to the sermon series, Pastor Colin has written a book by that same title based on this series. And we'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. Open the Bible is listener-supported. We're able to be on the station through your generosity. But as you give a gift, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. You can go online and give a gift right now at our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, the website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, then finally and briefly, how can we cultivate humility? Notice that humility isn't something that just happens. It is a matter of an intentional choice. Peter says in verse 5, clothe yourselves with humility. That's a very simple picture that anyone can understand. You get up in the morning, you get in the shower, you come out the shower, you clear your eyes, and you face the first big decision today of the day. What am I going to wear? And you go into your closet and you select from the things that are there and say, well, I'll put this on today. Now, Peter is saying that is exactly how you're to think about this issue, that there is an intentional choice of putting humility on. It's not something that just happens. It is an intentional choice. It is an approach to life. Clothing, of course, is the most visible thing about you. And so in using that picture, he's saying, you know, make this your personal statement in life, your humility. And of course, clothing needs to be suitable. Something ridiculous on a hot summer's day on the beach if a man turns up with a sweater and an overcoat. And there's something equally ridiculous about a man or a woman saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, and being proud about it. Clothe yourselves with humility. I cannot choose the circumstances of my life, but I can choose the way that I respond to them. And so when I come into the closet, as it were, of my spiritual life each day, I know that hanging there are the rather garish clothes of self-importance and self-promotion and self-interest. And before I go out in the day, Peter says, leave these rags in the closet. You put on humility. Make that your intentional approach to the whole of life. And how are we to do that? How are we to humble ourselves to make these intentional choices? I think there are a couple of things in verse 1 that are helpful here. And let's just glance at them as we come towards a conclusion. Remember where you've come. Look back at where God has brought you from. And I see that in the way that Peter just opens up this whole passage. He says, I'm a witness of Christ's sufferings. You could have said the resurrection. But in saying a witness of Christ's sufferings, he's really intentionally opening up what happened when he saw Christ's sufferings, which of course is that he denied Jesus. So he's reminding us in that reference right at the beginning, look, I'm not standing before you as someone who's never failed. We all have our failures, and I can remember mine. This is Peter writing. But as he looks back, you see, that's not an exercise in condemnation of just plowing over our old sins. He does that because it's valuable for us to see how far grace has brought us. That's why throughout the New Testament, you keep getting this emphasis on remember what you were and the descriptions of some of the ugly things that were in our lives in the past. Peter does it himself, even in this letter in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I mean, he really spells out where grace has brought us. God called you, chapter 2, verse 9, out of darkness into his wonderful light. You were ignorant of God's truth. You were in the darkness. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You were guilty of sin. There was nothing you could do about it, but now you've been forgiven. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You were an outsider to God's community, but now you have found a way in through the grace and the mercy of God. I mean, think about what you were. Look at it. An ignorant, guilty outsider. That's what you were. It's what we all were. Darkness. You hadn't received mercy. You were an outsider to the people of God. I don't suggest this as an approach to evangelism, by the way. Did you know you're an IGO? You're an ignorant, guilty outsider. But Peter, writing to believers, says, look, remember that's where grace has brought you from. And if you doubt it, ask this question. How come that when other people you know and love don't understand God's truth, you do? How come? What made you so smart? How come when other people who you know and love, their sins are not at this point forgiven by God? They're outside of Christ. Their sins are not forgiven, but yours are. How come? How come that you're a citizen of heaven today and someone else who you know and love is down the street and they're not? How come? Answer, the grace and the mercy of God, period. Period. That is the only difference between you as a Christian believer and someone who's right outside. Look where grace has brought you. And then look where it will bring you. Boy, that helps humility. You know, you stand by the Grand Canyon or the Alps and you just begin to see life and yourself in a whole new perspective. Well, here's a better way of doing that. Look at the glory that is to be revealed. And you see, that's what Peter does in verse 1 as he gets into this whole subject. Not only was he a witness of Christ's suffering, he says, I'm going to share in the glory that will be revealed. And in God's incredible mercy, he's going to take an ordinary person like me, and when I see him, I will be like him. And the only explanation of how God could do that in a person like me is his grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but for the mercy of God, I still would be. But now I see.
Really a helpful reminder today that if we want to experience the blessing of the Lord, we need to make sure that we humble ourselves. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Humility. It's part of our series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. It's really a study of the book of 1 Peter. And if you've missed any of the broadcast in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but who's the book written for?
Well, if you have recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is certainly a book that was written for you. Or perhaps you feel that you need to get grounded in the basics of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian and to live the Christian life? Well, you know, there's a whole book in the New Testament that was written really to answer that question. And it's the letter of 1 Peter. It's just 5 chapters, so it's quite short. But what's significant about it is that while some of the other letters in the New Testament were written to particular churches, like the letter to Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians and so forth, this letter was just written to believers in general who were scattered in lots of different places. And by definition, because this is the early church, they were all new believers. And what Peter is doing in this letter is helping them to get established in the faith. It's a wonderful letter. And this book just takes a person through the basics of the Christian faith from the first letter of Peter. And I hope that it's going to be really helpful to many, Steve.
Well, the book is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What sins do you struggle with? What sins or flaws would you expect to find in any authentic Christian community? Find out next time on Open the Bible.